The Atlas's introduction promises its users that it will provide a portal to distant corners of the Earth. Chief Cartographer Alan Carroll says the National Geographic Society's Atlas reflects the study of geography that has been the hallmark of its magazines. In addition to maps, there are country-by-country profiles of political and economic data, as well as maps of cultural aspects, such as religions and languages.
The heart of our atlas continues to be the so-called political maps. I've always personally felt that as beautiful and as useful as those maps are, they're an awfully simple way of looking at the world, that the world is a much more interesting and messy place. Those neat boundaries and nice little town spots and all don't really reflect some of the complexities and changes that are going on. So we've added new plates on conflict and terror and human migration, fresh water, and transportation and telecommunications and other subjects to reflect some of the interesting issues that geography is all about.
New items featured on the maps themselves include everything from high-speed rail lines to space launch ports. Cartographer Carroll says the 8th edition of the Atlas has a special focus on cities.
Within the last few years, we've reached the point where half the world's population lives in cities, and that represents a huge change from our past as essentially an agrarian economy to a much more urban, international, manufacturing and information-based economy.
National Geographic editor Michael Horner says Atlas users will notice a number of changes of popular place names, such as Kolkata instead of the old name Calcutta, India. In Africa, the latest Atlas edition shows Somaliland as an area of special sovereignty where national control is disputed. The size of Lake Chad is shown greatly reduced because of evaporation and reduced stream flow. In addition to changing Calcutta to Kolkata, the Asia maps show Timor-Leste as an independent country. China's Three Gorges Dam and Reservoir were added, and the Aral Sea shoreline was changed to show a significant reduction in size. The map for Iraq shows the shorter names used more commonly, such as Fallujah, as well as the original name Al-Fallujah. Changes in Europe include adding a new reservoir in Portugal, Europe's largest. The recent political changes in the two former Yugoslav republics, Serbia and Montenegro, and the local form of the historic city, St. Petersburg, is also called Sankt Peterburg. For South America, the maps were changed to show new spellings for the Peruvian cities Cusco, that's spelled C-U-S-C-O, formerly C-U-Z-C-O, and Nazca, N-A-S-C-A, formerly N-A-Z-C-A. Also in Peru, the Bawaja-Sonene National Park was added, along with Bolivia's Madidi National Park. Combining them makes one of the largest protected areas of the world.
To a large degree, we follow a lot of the use of the U.S. Board on Geographic names, and they, in general, tend to reflect the national usage. Things change, and we've had times where the national government and state governments both have different names for the same place within their country. In this last edition, South Korea's changed their transliteration system, so there was a lot of small spelling changes, but it affected a lot of names in the Atlas. That's going on all the time around the world, especially in like Central Asia, which was an interesting challenge to make that new map plate for the Atlas.
Alan Carroll says some of the map changes have even been controversial, such as the addition of the secondary name Arabian Gulf to the traditionally named Persian Gulf. There were many reasons for non-political changes on the maps, as Mr. Carroll explains.
We now show the highest point on the Earth's surface as a little higher and the lowest point a little lower, and they're for two different reasons. The highest point, Mount Everest, is 2 meters higher, not because Mount Everest has necessarily grown in the last 5 years, but it's because it's been measured more accurately using more up-to-date technology. The lowest point, the shores of the Dead Sea, is actually lower because the Dead Sea's water level has gone down.
Technological advances in map-making have not only made atlases more accurate, but easier to prepare.
It's a wonderful time to be a cartographer because the tools that we personally use in creating maps have changed so much, and the data that's available to us are incredible. 20, 30 years ago, the Atlas was much more labor-intensive. It's still a whole lot of labor, but having geographic information systems and names databases and graphic software and all eases our work and also increases the creative portion of our work because there's so many other options.
Ellen Carroll adds that the National Geographic Atlas has an integrated website for each political map. As place names and borders change, the changes are shown, and Atlas users can print out and paste the printout sections onto their Atlas map.
One of the things that's always scary for us is to finish work on the Atlas and then have some major change happen. Now we're not going through a period of macro-level changes like the breakup of the Soviet Union. But to some extent, you know, changing world is job security for us. It allows us to keep working on future editions of the Atlas.
Indeed, Alan Carroll and his team, in between a variety of map and illustration projects for the National Geographic's many books and magazines, have already started working on the next edition of the Atlas of the World. I'm Steve M.